Father, we thank you so much for your work that you have done. We thank you that you have planned our salvation, and we thank you that you are working out our salvation day by day. And we ask that this time we look into your word tonight would be profitable, that you would use your word to change our lives, to make us to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So we are in Ephesians 5, the section here from verses 15 through 21. I'll go ahead and read the entire section again, but we're coming to the end of that tonight. So, verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." So we are to walk circumspectly or carefully in our lives. We are to be on the alert, watching out for danger. We are to be making the best use of our time and making the most of opportunities that come before us. We are to understand what the will of the Lord is, which is, in this passage, it's to be filled with the Spirit. And that is shown in our speech toward one another. It is shown in our attitudes, submitting to one another. So we're picking up tonight on, we kind of covered 18 last week, but it's one sentence from verses 18 through 21, so it's all connected.
Yes,
we are to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So in verses 19 through 21, the New King James does a good translation where it keeps this all as one sentence, and these words are participles, speaking, singing, making melody, giving thanks, submitting to one another. And a participle is a verb that describes another verb. So we are, all these are describing what it is to be filled with the Spirit. That is the main verb in this section. So this is the result, or what it looks like, to be filled with the Spirit. So the evidence that we are filled with the Spirit is not speaking in tongues or having a feeling of some ecstatic state, or even having great success in leading others to Christ. But the major evidence of being filled with the Spirit is what's here in these verses. Speaking, singing, making melody, giving thanks, and submitting to one another. So if we are filled, with the Spirit, these are things that we will see in our lives. And these are all present tense, so they are continuous actions. So the mark of a Christian is what he does all the time, what's continuously going on, and not what we do occasionally. So these are things we're to be doing all the time. Yes?
So we're supposed to do all these things because he's warning us that the days are, and this is why we're to do all these. We look at the cross reference, wherefore can you, the whole armor of God, who will stand and pay and having done all the things to stand? He's warning us about all this, to do all this, to study the motives. It makes no sense.
Okay. Well, that's true in a sense, yeah. If you're focused on what is good, then what is bad will kind of diminish in your mind. I did want to read Colossians 3:16 again, which I read last week, which is similar, and I'll touch on some of these thoughts probably throughout tonight's lesson. But Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." So we have many of the same ideas, the same words here are used, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So being filled with the Spirit is to be under the influence of the Spirit, and that is to be directed by the word of Christ. We are to speak to one another. We are not each one isolated from the other, but we are to have a Christian fellowship. So our speech should be teaching and admonishing, teaching one another truths about God from His Word, and warning or reproving, cautioning one another. So how are we to do this? We are to speak in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I spent quite a bit of time I should not have, probably, on different views of this. Some commentators take the view that all of these refer to the book of Psalms only. They get that from the titles of some of the Psalms, the title verses. In the Greek translation of the Old Testament, some of the title verses have the word for song or for hymn or for song. Psalm, song, or hymn. Those three. In our English translation, the one that they translated into Greek as hymn is actually translated prayer. But for example, Psalm 85 says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of the songs of Korah." Psalm 86 says, "A prayer of David," and that in the Greek would be the word for hymn. Psalm 87 says, "A psalm of the sons of Korah, a song." So it has two of those words in there, both psalm and song. So that's one view, is that we're to be speaking the psalms from Scripture to one another. A more relaxed view on the word for psalms would be any Scripture, not only what is in the psalms. Hymns and spiritual songs would be under different categories. So hymns may be songs that are sung directly to God, singing prayers to Him. Or they could be hymns, or could be songs that are full of theology or rich in doctrine and set to music. Spiritual songs are songs that have to do with the Spirit. Spiritual matters, things of the Holy Spirit, as opposed to worldly, secular songs. They would focus on spiritual matters. So there is a lot of overlap. Many songs would be two or more of these categories. But the emphasis is on the content, the words of the songs, not different styles of music or different instruments being used. The emphasis is the content. Okay. Yeah. So the point is that believers filled with the Spirit are to be speaking these to each other. When we come together to sing, we should be singing songs from God's Word, songs directed to Him, and songs that bring Him glory. And we are to be filled with the Spirit, singing, making melody in our heart to the Lord. So while the songs that we would sing out loud may be beneficial to one another, we are also to be singing to the Lord. So the audible song that we speak with our mouth would encourage other believers, but the inaudible song of the heart, the Lord hears. The Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. When we are filled with the Spirit, our songs are directed to Christ. When our worship is toward Christ, it is a work of the Holy Spirit. In John 16:14, Jesus speaking to his disciples about the coming of the Holy Spirit, he said that he will glorify me. So when we worship the Lord, that is a work of the Spirit. And I went through that verse very quickly for the amount of time I spent on it. Okay, verse 20. Be filled with the Spirit, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there are, I guess, 5 points here. The first is giving thanks. What is thanksgiving? It is a grateful acknowledgement of every good and perfect gift, recognizing that the blessings we enjoy were given to us and not earned, and they are more numerous and greater than we recognize.
All things, the one that's reasonable.
Yes. So he daily loads us with benefits. Giving thanks to God is an important part of our walk as a Christian. We should count your blessings, go over in your mind one by one the things that God has done for you. The proper response to his blessings is to express our gratitude. While we remain thankful, worries will fade, complaints will diminish. We will receive courage to face the future and peace, knowing that God is in control and he is faithful. Frank?
Well, I just want to read this because I think it's pretty cool. It says, when you feel down, you may find it difficult to give thanks. Take heart. In all things, God works for our good. Thank God not for your problems, but for the strength he is building in you through the difficult experience of your life. Be sure that God's perfect love will see, you know. And for myself, this year I've really grown to understand that, you know, that truth.
Yeah.
Those things that I find difficult, I go through them, but God gives me the strength to go through them, and then he often shows me myself how not to get in that situation, into those difficulties.
What you said reminded me of Romans 5. Paul writes, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. So, yes, God's using all things to benefit us.
Patience, experience.
Mm-hmm.
I may have had that for 4 weeks. Thank you for your patience, and we'll be with you when I'm home.
So we are to give thanks when?
Always.
Always, yes. We give thanks after receiving a blessing, when a stressful situation has passed, like the song that Moses and the Israelites sang in Exodus 15, after the Red Sea crossing, the great deliverance that God had worked for them. So after coming out of trouble, we give thanks. We also give thanks in the middle of the distress, like Jonah did. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord. He said, out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. And he said, I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving, while he was still in the fish. So while we are going through any distressful circumstance, we should be giving thanks. And it's also proper to sing songs of praise and thanksgiving before the troubling situation has come. We have an example in 2 Chronicles 20, where a great army was on its way coming to fight against Jehoshaphat. But before they got there, the Lord told the Israelites not to be afraid, to go down against them, to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So when they went early in the morning, Jehoshaphat encouraged the people to believe in the Lord, and he appointed some to sing to the Lord. And they went out before the army. They were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." So even before the battle came upon them, they were praising and giving thanks. So give thanks always when you know something difficult is coming, when you're in the middle of it, and after it has passed. There's never a time when it's improper to thank God. So what do we thank him for? All things. Yep, that's the third line. Give thanks for physical blessings and spiritual blessings, for small things that God does for you and big things, things he has done in the past, things he is doing right now, and things that he has promised to do for you in the future. We should give thanks for things received and for things withheld. Something Barry said yesterday about... No, not that part. About unanswered prayers being better than... I don't know how he worded it, but... Things that God doesn't do that we ask him for turn out better the way he has planned. So we should give thanks for things that he doesn't do. So we should give thanks for things that we like and things that we don't like, knowing that God has a purpose in everything. Yes.
And as soon as it comes out, thank you for my life, immediately I say, and I surrender that to you as a living sacrifice, you know, on a daily basis, you know, because I, you know, my life, when I woke up, it's because I'm alive because of heaven.
That's right.
You know? And since it is, thank you for it, it's yours, you know, right back. I'm just saying that, okay. You know, that's right. I think what you're trying to say, you know, involve into the life.
So we have the assurance when we are going through things that we don't necessarily like, that we know that God works all things together for good to those who love God. And we have the assurance that there's no situation that can separate us from the love of God in Christ.
What was that? What did you say?
We have the assurance that God's working all things together for good to those that love God, and there's no situation that can separate us from the love of God in Christ. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And there's a long list of things that we overcome through him that do not separate us from his love. So in everything, give thanks. So who are we giving thanks to? Okay, to give thanks to God the Father. So we are to have more than just an attitude of gratitude that's just thankful, kind of generically, but not necessarily directed toward God.
That's what I told my guys to hold it. Nobody comes to the Father except God.
Yeah. So there are people who do not give thanks at all. They seem to give themselves the credit for their accomplishments and their things they possess, much like the rich fool in Luke 12. Pastor spoke on that last Thursday. He had seen all that he had and was just going to build bigger barns to store it and satisfy his soul in material goods, but he wasn't giving thanks. He thought it was his own doing.
People do that.
And other people do give thanks, but it's misdirected. They may give thanks to other people for what they do, but fail to recognize that God is behind it all.
Yes.
Yes. So they would thank the instrument, that is people, and not the one using the instrument, which is God. So a thankful attitude is good, but we need to identify the one from whom all blessings flow. And finally, how are we to give thanks? And that is in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was Christ who earned the blessings for us, and our thanksgiving is only acceptable if we come to God through Christ. He is the way. No one comes to the Father but by Him. For those who are not saved, who are not in Christ, they do not thank God the Father of Christ when they give thanks, when they express gratitude. I had another point. Yes? Right, right. This kind of goes back and forth here. We are speaking to one another. We are singing and making melody to the Lord. We're giving thanks to God the Father, and we are submitting to one another. So it's going back and forth between each other and the Lord. And that's kind of a good picture, because how we do relate to each other is related to how we are walking with the Lord, I guess. So we are to submit to one another in the fear of God or in the fear of Christ. There are differences in the manuscripts, so depending on which manuscripts your translation uses, it say either God or Christ, but it makes little difference because Christ is God. So we are speaking and singing from the heart to each other and the Lord, things from the Word. And that prepares us to be thankful in all things, which in turn leads us to be submissive to one another. To submit is to place under. The idea is that you place yourself in the last position, or to serve. When the disciples had been disputing among themselves who would be the greatest, Jesus said to them, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." And another time, under similar circumstances, Jesus said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise dominion over them, but it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be chief among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." That's in Matthew 20. So we're to imitate Christ, follow his example, and part of that is serving one another, lowering ourselves.
Chris. So then submitting to one another, being humble with each other.
Yeah.
Being humble, that word meaning of that.
Humility, yeah, that's lowering yourself. It's the same idea.
So it's being humble, trying to build a new house, all the men from the church when you build a house up.
But then you love the guy. You don't want to go there. Please. You don't have to go.
Well, see, but in that situation, what you're talking about, though, you're missing the whole point, because we're supposed to like that.
Yes. And enemies too. We are to love
yes.
everyone.
That's right.
I'm not saying that
it's over.
No.
But absolutely.
We need to strive for that perfect love.
Yeah, Jesus was. Jesus on the cross got 2 feet. Not on this side, one on that side.
Yeah.
But if you want to say it's not right, it's not
right. Huh?
Right there, it's not right. Yeah, they both could have said that.
Is that right, man? Yeah, it's not in the Bible that the love is the Christ on the cross. And you know what? Because it's dangerous to go outside.
Well, I don't know if it states it in those terms, per se.
Jesus came to set the sinners. Remember, Jesus came to set the sinners with the Pharisees and all of them.
That would be a different situation. Your brother starts, but if you're in a situation, you're, let's say, 5 miles away at your house, and there's somebody next to you that really needs your help, he's not a Christian. What are you going to do? Now, my brother I know over here is hurting and that, but I'm going to go there eventually to him, you know. I we think it has a lot to do with timing and situations.
Okay.
I'm not going to go here first, and then, no, I'm going to take care of this next door first. You know, it may be may I be a non-believer, but basically he still is my brother.
Yeah,
children in Christ, am I right?
Sure. In the jail that I got in Proverbs 16, very first, it says, preparation of the heart belongs to man.
Oh,
okay? But the answer of the tongue is from the Lord.
What do you think about that?
I think the greatest good we can do for an unbeliever is to lead them to Christ. Because that is what is eternally important. And other matters are...
So, thank you.
What?
You do that while you're... you have the opportunity to help them with something they need.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, we aren't supposed to neglect their physical concerns.
Yeah. Because to all of them, even if you just want to show up, God's God. Not doing something. So, even if it wasn't,
I did, especially those who are sick,
and even the doctor, like you go to the Pharisees, they're sick, even doctor.
You quoted, there, Colossians 3:16, it says, admonish. Admonish. Yes, the other one is admonish. Admonish.
That's warning.
Correct. Right.
Yeah, reproving.
So I'm gonna say, Ryan, gotta be careful.
Can I think of that?
Yeah. We gotta get them three out of the driveway.
Can we say you didn't hear?
All right,
our walk is to be imitating Christ, following His example. So we should be serving our brothers and sisters in Christ instead of competing with them. We should yield to one another, consider the interests of others as more important than your own. Put away all pride and attitudes of superiority. 1 Peter 5:5 says, "All of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Philippians 2:3 says, "In lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself."
So it is about
being humble, yielding.
Yeah, because you just mentioned the verse that's, 4:6, God resists the proud, but gives more grace to the humble.
So if we are all, submitting, if we are all submissive, then who is in charge?
God is God.
That's right. The Lord is in charge.
Everyone proud of God is an abomination.
Look at Proverbs 6.
Though they join forces, none will go up.
Look at Proverbs 6. 17. Six things that the Lord hate. Six things an abomination. A proud look, lying, and shit.
So if we all submit to one another and the Lord is in charge, then it is His will that we are doing and not our own. We should be pursuing humility or meekness. Sin has made us proud by nature, but Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart." We are to do this in the fear of Christ. So the greatest concern in our life should be not to displease Christ. Fear would include the idea of standing in awe of Him, in reverence. Another aspect would be to fear the judgment of Christ, but that would be for the unbeliever. So out of reverence for Christ, with a regard for His will, every member of the body should recognize the rights, needs, and wishes of the other members. Because we are one body, we should be working together as a body. To this lesson about speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and submitting to one another in the fear of Christ, I did find a song in a hymn book called "In the Sweet Fear of Jesus."
What does it mean in the fear of God?
I was going to read.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I was going to read this, and it would explain one view of the fear of Jesus, of Christ. "In the sweet fear of Jesus, let me begin each day, fearful lest I should grieve Him, fearful lest I should stray, fearful lest earthly longings ever my heart should share, taking the throne of Jesus, placing an idol there. In the sweet fear of Jesus, let me begin each day, serving or resting, always under His gentle sway. All that I say, directed, all that I plan, conceived, with the remembrance present, Jesus must not be grieved." The idea there is that not to grieve Christ.
So the fear there isn't like, I have fear of God too, but my fear mostly
see, we're taking fear, you know, 4-7 is a fear of real. Like, three, you know, come up with a trillion desire. Like, all of them, yeah, all of them. Yeah, so, fear.
Well, listen, my first time when I seen fear, I thought it meant
fear. Absolutely.
You know, like, oh man, I'm
here.
And yes, I knew fear, you know, I mean, God, you know, but now my fear is more love, honor, respect, and caring for it. Yeah, so.
Yeah, it's fear of being without it.
Yeah, the fear of being without it.
Yeah.
But what you said, though, Brian, actually makes it sound like that we should remember what God's Word says.
Mm-hmm.
The Word about being told what the Scripture says. Listen to what you said.
If any of you learn better from pictures, some people may like that. I tried this out. We are to be filled with the Spirit. We are to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. So the Spirit of God and the Word of God are related. The Spirit brings the Word of Christ. He makes it effective in our heart.
Yes. Singing unto the Lord. I like that. Singing unto Him.
And what is in our heart then comes out our mouth, and we give thanks to God the Father. We do have a reference here to the Trinity, filled with the Spirit, singing to the Lord Jesus Christ and giving thanks to God the Father.
One of those things again, they greet the Lord Jesus.
They don't have to greet.
No, I don't want to fall into that category.
The song, it has to do with straying or letting earthly things take his place in our life. The other side of this passage would relate to one another. We are to speak, teach, or admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, which then leads us to submit to one another in the fear of God. So there's two different picture versions of the lesson.
Admonishing then is the difference between admonishing correct and what? Correction.
Admonish could include correcting when you see something that one is doing wrong. It could also be a warning before it gets to that point, I think.
Yeah, but then I'm saying I'm better than that person because...
No, not good. I mean, like, if you saw something to need it, you know, like all of a sudden, that just, you know how we pat ourselves sometimes, you know, I don't pray, you know, you see something that's, how about the Holy Spirit tells you, you know, talk to pray, you know, that's it. That you're concerned about, you know, say, friend, are you okay? You know, that doesn't mean you're better than me.
No, it's saying that on Judgment Day, I see harm in my brothers. Let me do this.
How are you judging
me? You're not even judging them, right? Yeah. As if you were in front of other people. Because then,
not
it's
yet.
Like you're putting judgment on him.
Yeah.
If you do it to him, then you're trying to help him.
Yeah. It's one on one. You and me, there is nobody else. You mean
so
the Christ?
So
you're talking about.
Well, not so much. Whatever it may be, you know, if you give it
all with the love.
What if you see
people in sin?
People in what?
In sin.
People in what? Well, you could approach them quietly about that too. You know. And say, you know, I saw you, you know, I just want to let you know I love you, brother, and you've been on my prayer, but I saw what you did here. It's between us, you know. But you need help, you know, encouragement. That's what I would do, you know.
Well, I don't, sometimes I don't want to be offensive and saying, but just maybe it's bad if not saying something.
You know what, John? You also can do this, and this is what I do, you know, I say, boy, do you want me to say something to this person?
Pastor Arthur's telling me that. Don't worry, John. Someday I'll have to stand before God.
Yes. That, absolutely.
What do you think, Brian?
It must be done with care, I would say.
Yes. Love and care.
If it is done harshly, trying to admonish or correct, a fellow believer could lead to a hardening.
And I'm guilty of that. I'll be honest with you. I'll say I'm guilty of that. You know, I'll say something, but not more harshly than with love and care. You know what I mean? And then afterward, I'm sorry for it. I realized, I could have done a lot better by showing love to the person and speaking softly.
Gentle answer turns away wrath.
That's why sometimes it's better to say nothing at all.
That's why. That's why it's important to meditate on God's word. That way we don't say things that offend each other. The heart of the righteous study the answer. It's in God's word if we meditate on that. But it's out of the way.
Yes.
You know,
what if they come across like right there better than now? They're right there.
You know, so wrong.
They're so wrong. Yeah. Well, it's a discernment. They can see it.
But what's wrong is all of that person. You know that God's word says itself in the sight of the Lord. Well, what's wrong with telling that person to exalt it?
Somebody doesn't know the Lord, like, you know, you do that work right
ahead. Doesn't remember every scripture and every words of the day. Some of us
tend to be saying, well, it's all mentation. He's a God for my sins. I'm not perfect.
That's right.
Exactly.
Are you just telling me you're right?
He is good. Yeah. He is who is without sin, but who has the first stone.
That's right. Okay. So?
We're always sin, so none of us get the stone.
That's why I brought that up, you know, because I go into the gym, all of them guys are there. They're not there because they were good guys.
Right.
You know. Proverbs 16, verse 1, where it talks about the heart of the man, right?
Yeah.
Makes his own mind, does his own thing. But the son from the Lord. So I said, go to Mark 13, verse 1. And it says, when you're going to trial, you know, speak what the Lord's having you speak. You know, so I mean, it's difficult to do that.
Sure.
Especially for pastor, elders, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't believe it. Yeah. I'm going to go for this and that. It's difficult. But there it's hard.
Before I approach anybody, I always sometimes I'll think, hey, Mike, you know, that's a red fella who first.
That's
a good friend and say, you know, this is going on. What do you think, you know, and I'll get another way of speaking to that person, another perspective. See if I'm on the right track or if it's not a dead air conscience, none of my spiritual business.
Well,
the way you go about that one person, though, the person you go to is like a pastor. He's more of an educated, you know, that way. And ask him, you know, Mike, we saw this and what do you think? And either he's going to say, Frank, here's some, you know, give me some verses to say or something like that. Or he's going to say, no, just have to say that.
Yeah, I've grown up as a kid, what did I tell you? So, you have nothing good to say.
You know what? And they were true. They were right.
And what do you do? You know, what do you do? At the service of another. You don't do what you told them, what are they do? They put you in jail.
Yeah.
At least the date is this bang, 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 whatever. You be up at 4 o'clock, yes, sir. You know? Every 4 hours, yes, sir. You know, you come here. Every 4 hours, you show up. You know? If you don't, whatever.
You can find it.
That's why I brought that up.
Yeah.
But being a Christian and having a love of Christ and to love others, and to see Christ,
that's right.
In Romans 12, sort of tells us to edify, you know, edify on the good stuff.
How can we ever go wrong if we speak life, if we speak hope, if we speak and use our words to inspire?
Yeah, when some people are arrogant and they come back.
You can't save everybody.
No, not at all.
And there's a time when you have to
And the good news is they liked all the conferences. That's what I did there.
I like to go and say, you know, what God's going to take care of them, just like he takes care of you. Know, maybe I said something they're not going to pay attention to. Maybe there's a little seed that God's taking care of. You know,
that's what we're supposed to do, plant seeds.
Yeah. Okay. Seed, you know.
Nothing wrong. Now, this is how we identify them. No. Plant the seed, make them want to find out all that.
God will make that grow. Maybe there's somebody else that's going to come and water.
And actually, just speaking, the word of God may be enough in some cases because it's his word that does the admonishing.
Right. They're going to listen on these.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty sad because, you know, I see people where I live at and see a lot of different. In fact, you know all about the girl that got shot right here at the pool. Right there. Shot right in the face.
Junior,
17 years old. Yeah, right there at the pool. We were all going swimming and everything. It was nighttime. It was early evening, and the girlfriend and him got an angry. Who knows what it was about? But he just took the gun and shot it right in their face. Oh, yeah. They finally got it. You know. The next day they were poor. It was ABC, NBC, all of those. They were everywhere. It must have been 25 police officers before this guy. Yeah, they found a bomb. But what I think, 17 years old, think about how he starts his life off in prison. You know? Hopefully he'll hear either John or somebody and maybe change. You know, change that life, you know. But what I'm trying to say is that a lot of people are, you know, how often about God and not how to save them, you know. Most of us have a big hole in our heart and we wanted to fill it, but we filled it with lust and everything else except that. We fill it with everything in the world, money, possessions, hatred. Yes, you know.
Did she move that?
Oh, yes, you know what I mean. Thank God. It was a miracle. It came out of her neck and missed her spinal cord and everything, her brain. I mean, God was definitely watching all of her, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's fine.
But, you know, it's hard sometimes to mention God to them, and they're like, yeah. You know, well, at that point, okay.
Well, what will cause a person to pull a gun on someone? Sure.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Maybe. Who knows?
No, it's beyond negativity. That's evil. That's Satan.
Which is
Satan. Right?
Which is Satan. You know, a person that's saved, pull a gun on someone, shoot them in the face, no. So it's obviously something that they say
It's not negativity, it's the world, it's Satan. Negativity is a negative thought. That's it. This was evil. When somebody hurts another human being, that evil, that spirits of evil inside that person. I really believe that.
The mind of the church every week.
Thank you.
You know, my wife
would appreciate this.
Yes, even the wicked from the day of the. So by our example,
not someone who is
saved. No. Be saved. That's what it says in your mind.
Some people are wicked.
And you get what comes to mind.
But he says he made you. You know, he said, I made that. He's the guy. He's the one that did that.
And I stood in that for years, you know, until finally that was all in order. But for the grace of God, that's all I got to say. I'm blessed because not everybody makes it like that, you know. We don't have to look it up. We don't, especially if it's going up at the Bible system, you know.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Rules and regulations.
Yeah, so mortal sin, genial sin, babies getting to heaven, not being baptized, all that. They get to know how the purgatory, go there, you do your bidding.
Yeah, you forget your penitentiary. Really, that's as your mind out. You know, it's kind of like in a talk, you know, get confused, you know. Because we weren't allowed to read the word.
Right.
You know, the priest gave us the word. We weren't allowed to read it. Everybody had Bibles at home. Well, my grandmother's hand it open to one certain page. There are beautiful pictures. And it was like that for 15 years. Never moved that page. She tossed it.
Right.
Get over it.
Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. Don't touch that book.
Yeah.
We had a stain of everything.
Yeah.
Well, I got one. I can't read it.
Really? I mean, like, what do you got it for?
It's called the catechism.
Yeah.
See, I think
that's what I got for that one.
Oh, great. My Bible will go hide under the cover for you.
So, see, the one. So, you wanted to pray, right?
We stayed here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and finish. Thank you, Father, again, for things I can't even speak of. I can't even imagine all the things that I have to thank you for. We thank you that you are good, that you are worthy to be worshipped with our speech, with our lives. And we ask for your help to do these commands, to obey your word, because we cannot rightly obey without your help. So help us to speak your word to one another. Help us to give thanks to you even when we don't feel like it. Help us to submit to other believers even when it's hard for us to do so. And help us to do all of this with the mindset of obedience to you and not grieving your son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.